Welcome to the Classic City Church podcast. For up-to-date information and ways to get involved, please visit us at classiccity.org.
It's always good to be at Classic City Church, man. It's like a home away from home. I'm so grateful to be in partnership, fellowship with this church, with so many people that I know that goes here, and that from your pastor first and foremost, and Lisa, you know, you don't have much work to do after Lisa introduces you, right? How the Holy Spirit uses her to just usher in the Spirit, and just, you know, I'm so grateful for Lee and Lisa. Let me say that. Can we give them a round of applause, right? For the gift that they are to this city, and I see my partner Gator out here, and he got his grandson. That blessed me so much this morning, because me and Gator been knowing each other over 30 years or whatever else. I know his brother John, and he, whenever he'll stop by, he would always be saying, "Man, pray for my grandson. Pray for my grandson. Pray for my grandson, Jamie. If we get some UGA gear in or whatever else, if he pick up a piece," he was like, I said, "Hold on, Gator, he's supposed to get one." He said, "Nah, the other one for my grandson." So when I seen grandson this morning, I was like, "Man, is Gator, have Gator been giving you that stuff?" He bust out laughing and said, "Yes, sir." Now, I looked at the laugh in a couple different ways, amen. But anyway, it is always good to be here amongst you guys. I won't hold you too long today. I'm on a time clock. You know, Lee made sure that, and Lee will come take the mic from you. I'm just saying, you know, so you're going to follow. But starting off with the inspiration that Lisa talked about, you know, I just want to touch on that first verse and that last verse in Psalm 30, verse 1. It says, "I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refuse to let my enemies triumph over me." And it ends on verse 5 saying, "For his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may last throughout the night, but joy cometh in the morning." And I think that's so fitting from the verses that I want to come from today and the book that I want to come from today. It's out of the book of James. And I heard that you guys have been doing a series of different people out of the Bible. I chose James. I looked at another juggernaut in the faith, a man of God, which was Elijah, and I felt led to talk about James. But before we get off into that, you know, when we get into the book of James, it's not an easy read. When you get off into James, James is the guy that, you know, when it talks about in the Bible, when Jesus is pruning you, as he's been the husband and the father or the gardener, and Jesus begins to prune. And I think that James do some of those same types of things in his text. You know, we'll be talking about a few things: trials and tribulations, wisdom and riches, spiritual riches or whatever else. But before we get started with that, you know, I just want to, I was at home, and I bought this the other day because I, you know, this is a bad and busted, everybody. So you may say, "Man, what kind of preacher is this?" Off the bat, I got the bad and busted, right? I'm from out of the inner city. I'm from out of, from Pauldo or whatever else, and we've had generations of family to come through there. So when you're up out of that type of, when you was raised up, you know, that way or whatever else, some people make it out, some people don't make it out. And I think it's going to tie in real beautiful with our message, just talking on trials and tribulations and things like that. It blessed me so much to see you guys as a church going into Rock Springs, spending time with those kids and pouring into those kids. And one of the things that they're doing and that they're having conversation about within this city is opening up different recreational centers in inner city housing authority projects, Nellie B. Parkville, Parkview, Rock Springs Homes, and you guys are already doing that work. So the YMCA is partnering up. They got a lot lot of funding. They're partnering up with the city. It's the government and the YMCA, but they're going back into some of those places because we're losing our youth to the streets, to a lot of gangs. There's a gang epidemic. There's an opioid epidemic. And there's a mental health epidemic going on right in our city. So as I'm looking through this paper, man, I'm saying, okay, all right, I know him, and a lot of them come through our doors or whatever else, and I'm looking on through them saying, okay, I know this person, and this person, and they change counties. And you know what hit me this morning? I was getting ready to go out the door, and I wasn't planning on bringing this, but the Holy Spirit said, man, if this was out when you were going through your trials and tribulations, Jamie, I wonder how many times you would have been in here. Your mugshot would have been in here. From having several arrests, being caught up in the darkness for several years, you know, for 20 years or so on and so forth, for breaking laws and doing all other things like that, man, my picture would have stayed up in the bad and busted when I was going through my trials, right? Now, today I like to speak on, you know, I want to start off talking about a couple events that are going on right now in the year of 2022 of the Lord, right? On June the 26th, 2022. And some of the things that we've been, if you look at the news or if you picked up a paper or if you've heard or whatever else, is Roe v. Wade, right? Now, this isn't a political spiel or anything like that, but this is what's going on in our day and age right now in 2022. Roe v. Wade, we're dealing with gun laws being struck down, mass shootings, the pandemic, and et cetera. This is the age that we're living in. I believe, church, we are in strange times. However, nothing is new under the sun. However, I chose to speak about James as my character because he's, you know, the way that he's engaging some of these things. And he, you know, what the old saints would tell us is that if you've, have you ever been through anything? Has trouble hit your household or your health or whatever else? And, you know, if you're young, you probably say, nah, not really. But, you know, the old saints would say, well, just keep on living because they're coming. It's not how you fall down, it's how you get back up and who you get back up with, right? Which is Jesus Christ. I was looking for somebody in the church, so I got the screen time on my tablet. I'm not the real techie guy. And at times, you know, I've been and did with Lisa kind of shared with us, and she was like, okay, they've already prayed over it 5 or 6 times, and I need a little help, especially when it comes to this. So I thank God for the teams that he gives us in the churches of leadership and the people to help us with digital technology, so on and so forth. So my screen goes off from time to time. The lighting on it, I went to the settings. I went to looking all like this. I went to looking around the church, and for a young person, man, I need me somebody young that can adjust this thing so it don't turn off. So bear with me if it goes off or not, right? One of the guys, when we was up in the room praying in the upper room or whatever else, as they do here at Classic City every Sunday, told me, now, Jamie, I've seen you speak at the Sparrow's Nest. Are you going to be walking today or are you going to be doing this? I said, just a few cartwheels, bro. That's it. You know, just follow me. And he was like, but anyway, just to give you a little backdrop on James, James was an early leader of the Jerusalem church of the apostolic traditionally, right? It is believed he was martyred in the year of 62 or 69 by being stoned to death by the Pharisees under the order of the high priest of Annas ben Annas. To be stoned was known as a capital punishment and is still practiced in some parts of the world today. If you go to Middle East or whatever else and you see on the TV, man, they be throwing them rocks for real now. I'm just telling you. They ain't fronting, they ain't faking, man. Those people throwing rocks and they know how to throw them, amen. But the author identifies himself as a slave and a servant to God. You know, time, and as we bust this book, as we open up this book, and as we open up these scriptures, we're going to begin to see that the very first chapter, in the very first verse, he begins to identify himself as a slave of God. And as we'll see as we read that, this guy here could have said, look, man, I'm Jesus' brother. We was raised up in the same household. I know things about him that you don't know, and I've seen him do things that you ain't never seen him do. That's my blood brother. But he introduces himself as a slave and a servant to God. And I begin to see the humility of this great man of faith as the books open up, right? You know, Paul would do the same thing. He said, man, I'm the chief of sinners. Even though he traveled and evangelized and planted churches or whatever else, but Paul began to identify himself as the chief of sinners who had been given a measurement of grace when Jesus knocked him off his high horse on the road to Damascus. You know, it goes on and says that he's a slave or a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. He was the brother of Jesus, of course, and sometimes known as James the Just. And the audience is generally considered to be the Jewish Christians who were dispersed outside of Israel. Framing his letter within an overall theme of patient perseverance during trials and temptations. You know, temptation is a desire, in case you don't, you know, we hear these things or whatever else, and we know that temptations awaits us, things to lure us or whatever else, but as I looked it up in Wikipedia, it began to say, you know, temptation is a desire to engage in short-term urges for enjoyment that threatens long-time goals. Short-time desires or pleasures that will crush long-time goals. And man, when you're young, you just don't see that kind of stuff. And sometimes when you're old and even in leadership, just for the moment of pleasure or desire, you can destroy a church, a team, a school, especially when you're in leadership or whatever else, for the short-time desire. James writes in order to encourage his readers to live consistently with what they have learned in Christ. There are a few points I'd like to make today, and on how James approached everyday life in ages way back then, thousands of years ago, that are relevant to us in this time and day that we're living in right now in the 21st century. The first one will be trials and tribulations. The second will be wisdom. And the third one would be riches. Now, when we get to this riches, you know, when we hear riches and things like that, we think about abundance having, what if you were in a world of Bitcoin? That was a real hot topic to a couple weeks ago, man. You know, some people was trying to get me, hey, jump on the Bitcoin train, Jamie. You know, a couple pastor friends called me, whatever else. I said, nah, I don't think I'm going to jump on that one right now. And I'm so glad I did. You know, I may have prayed about it, and I'm not saying I'm not saying that's a bad investment on you or whatever else, but you probably want to pray before you jump on a lot of stuff, you know, because it has tanked. And the only thing that I really looked at and kind of prayed about and just thought about a little bit, saying, okay, now the American dollar, our currency, it's been top shelf for so many years and has kind of, been the going dollar that everyone wants to have. Now, how are they going to just take this out of the picture and devalue that or whatever else? And I just thought I'd stick with the American dollar at the end of the day, right? It don't take a rocket scientist. And I said, nah, I'm going to keep investing right here for a while and see how that brings forth, whether it's in stocks or whatever else. And that's been shaky a little bit, but I just kept my faith in the dollar. Now, to start off with the trials and tribulations, I want to go to James, if you would take a minute, or if they should have it up on the screen, chapter 1. will be in James chapter 1. I'll be reading from the verses 1 through 12 sporadically, not all at one time, but we're going to talk about trials and tribulations a little bit and what and see what Brother James had to say about it. So if you flip to James chapter 1, and I'm reading from the NLT. And I gave them the scriptures starting at verse 2, but I want to start, and I want to, you can leave verse 2 up there or whatever else, but I want to start from verse 1. It says, "This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes of Jewish believers scattered abroad, greetings." And he dives right in. James begins to say, "Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So as James began to introduce himself, saying he's a slave of Jesus Christ and of God, and that, you know, letting you know his stance on where he's at spiritually, so on and so forth, he pushed out of saying, "Look, I'm the brother of Jesus. I have this position in the church," or whatever else. He immediately tells us in verse 2, he tells us, and I'm reading from NLT, right? "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." That's easier said than done, ladies and gentlemen. That's some mature Christian stuff right here that we're talking about. Because trials and tribulations will come into your life. Trials and tribulations will happen in the world with some things that we cannot just have any too much say-so on. And even if you want to have say-so on it and it's happening today, you probably have to wait 4 years, 2 years, depending on, you know, how you want to vote, if you want to say something on that. But for the present moment, for the present time, when trials and tribulation hits your home, when trials or tribulations hit your body, when trials and tribulations come into, when I say your home, for us, your children, or on your job or whatever else, James began to tell us, hey, consider it pure joy. And look at that as an opportunity. As an opportunity. An opportunity. Hold on, James. Hold on. Do you know what I just went through far as in this trial that I had? See, and when I speak at trials and when I look at trials, I can look at them a couple different ways, right? I can look at it for, as I told you, in your family, on your jobs, with your kids, and I can look at them through a judicial system, right? They have, you go to court on some days, some things you go to court on, they give you a plea bargain, and, you know, for whatever the charge is, if it's criminal trespass or if it's armed robbery, murder, or capital punishment, or whatever else. Now, James had been stoned on a capital punishment. With capital punishments, they give you a plea bargain. Let's say it's an armed robbery charge. They say, okay, well, on this charge, we want to give you 10 years. And with these 10 years, this is the plea bargain that we're offering you. And if you don't take the 10 years, then you have an opportunity to go into jury trial, which you can get a life sentence at trial. Trials and tribulations. You know, putting this message together and talking about this message, and you know, the Lord knew that I was going to be possibly the first fruit of it or whatever else, and I went through a trial before this Sunday. Oh my God, I went through a trial at home. We got a 17-year-old. Granddaughter who we're guardianship of, and this is my first time really parenting. My wife had one daughter when we got married over 14 years ago, and she had grandkids, and a lot of times, you know, they would just come to the house for the last 13, 14 years, and we'll be raising, you know, we'll spend time with them on holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, when it's time for them to go back to school, to shop for them with clothes and things like that, right? But then we begin to have to get guardianship because she was going through some trials, some things that I won't share here today, but that will break your heart, right? And we had to rescue her. Now, it's a little bit different than getting, what they say, the beauty of being a grandparent, the children come visit, but then you can send them on back home to the parents or wherever they're going, right? But we begin to start the parent, and now, you know, we're trying to figure this thing out, trying to be led, trying to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, and me and my granddaughter went through a trial. She's here today at church. I'm grateful of that. We didn't speak for a few days. I can tell you this, right? And during the time of trials and tribulation, when we begin to look at these things, God is trying to teach us something. He's trying to show us something. If we're in him, if we allow him to come in to build a certain type of character in us. Think it's not strange when you're walking through fiery trials. Because in the midst of that, God is trying to bring forth something. You know, when you're going through stuff like that, when you're dealing with different issues, when you're walking through some things, man, you need some wisdom. You need some wisdom on how to act. If something occurs, a trial occur, if something gets thrown at you that may rock your world, you need some wisdom on how to walk through that. You need to be surrounded by a community of believers. You need to have a mentor, whether it's a mentor or an accountability partner. You know, I was told that, you know, when we're walking this walk of Christ, with Christ, this doesn't separate anyone from whether it's the pastor, the person in leadership, or the person who's being discipled. We should always be walking like this, following someone to help us and reaching back to disciple someone else. And you should want a leader like that. You should want a leader like that. You know, the second thing that I want to talk about is wisdom. Secondly, in verse 5 through 8, he begins to give us some sound advice on wisdom in these verses. 5 through 8. I'm waiting on it to hit your screen up there. I think that's okay. James begins to say, after he's telling you to just, you know, welcome trials and troubles and tribulations in the verses behind that we read right before this, he begins to tell us, you know, now I just told you to look at that as an opportunity or whatever else. And to be honest with you, I don't like those type of opportunities. I don't like how they feel. I don't like how they make me feel. But God is showing us something in it, and he's trying to teach us something in it. In verse 5, as we step into the wisdom of that, while when we're going through those things, James began to crack it open and says, listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in the kingdom, promised those who love him, but you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name to him of whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law of Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. All right, we've read that off the screen. I'm gonna go back and read it from the NLT version, and it says, "If you're in need of wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. You know, there's a lot of things that we want to get from the Lord. And first and foremost is his salvation. We want to receive the salvation of the Lord. We want to be able to be engrafted into his great kingdom, so on and so forth. But as you get saved and as we allow the Lord to come into our hearts, I love the way that John talks about the second baptism, right? Being baptized by the Holy Spirit. See, that's what keeps me from going out and do the things that I used to do. That what helps me to be able to stand on the word of God, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so there's two different baptisms, being baptized with water and being baptized by fire that John talks about. John says that, you know, I baptize you by water, but behold, the Lamb of God. There's another one who comes and baptizes you with fire. So after we begin to even, if you've allowed that, and some people believe in walking that way and some may not, but from what I got delivered from and the things that I was struggling with, I need that and then some. I need some wisdom to go along with these things as I'm making life choices or I'm making life decisions or whatever else. And one of the things that I like to share from time to time, when you're making life choices, a job promotion, it may look like a job promotion or changing jobs, going from here to going to there. Whether it's financially, far as buying a car, far as buying a house, these are life-changing moments that you in the room that are young that may face. And for those that may have already accumulated some things, jumping into Bitcoin, investing into this, investing in that. These are life-changing type of instances, right? But it's good to be able to get some wisdom in the midst of that. It's good to be able to seek God, who don't just gives wisdom, but gives it generously. You know, it tells us in all our, acquire wisdom, but in all of our getting, get understanding. But wisdom is vital, church. To have wisdom is to begin to, when you're making decisions, big, small, or whatever else for your children, consult with the Lord. Pastors, you know, ministers are here, pastors are here. They have a great team set up or whatever else. But the beauty is you having a personal relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, seeking him, saying, you know, should I be led? God, what are you saying about this? I had an opportunity, man, where they gave me it was a promotion, and they was going to be paying me a whole lot of money than where I was working at the Sparrow's Nest at the time to go do some recovery work and to do, to begin to plant some RCOs, which are called recovery community organizations. Now, with these RCOs, you know, they give you a grant, man, $500,000. You know, you get to put your salary up in there, whatever else. And they was telling me, they said, well, Jamie, you know, how much are you making? How much are you making at the Sparrow's Nest? And there's some smart people around the room, man. One of the ladies was on the faculty of Yale. I won't call any names or anything like that there. And she said, okay, all right. Now, look, if you become if you leave here and become the director over here, we can put your salary at this. Is that enough for you? Doubled what I was making at the Sparrow's Nest. Double. They're talking about doubling it. My wife at the time, now she worked in the school district or whatever else, but that ended up shutting down, and we both was over at Pilgrim Pride, the chicken plant, right? We were both working there before I came to be called at the Sparrow's Nest, and she would be coming home saying, man, my feet hurt, my hands hurt, Jamie. Why haven't the Lord answered these prayers? I'm faithful with my tithes, my offerings, so on and so forth. I'm tired. I'm ready to leave this place. And she's crying, which made me want to cry. I'm massaging her feet. Baby, hold on, let's wait on the Lord or whatever else. So when this opportunity comes and they say, okay, look, yeah, we want you to be the director over this, and you still can do that a little, to make double of what you're making right now, and would you consider that? It sounded good. The first thing hit my mind, boy, okay, I can bring Terry up out the poultry. I can bring on home. I can get my wife to a place that where it isn't like she's working on a plantation, but she'll begin to, you know, her body can heal. I'm 51. I'll be 52 in July. My wife is already 52, so we're not a spring chicken anymore. And I'm looking at this. I want to go at this position. I want to choose this position. I really want to do this. I sat down. I had enough wisdom, though. It says that there's safety in the multitude of counseling. So what is that verse saying? Man, when some things may seem too good to be true, when you're making life decisions, call your pastor. Call some men of God who have been walking in this walk for a while. Get around some good, sound counseling that'll give you some wisdom. I went to go to God first. I went to God. He didn't say nothing. I went to the Holy Spirit. He didn't speak. I went to Jesus, did not say anything. And then 1 week goes by, Lisa, right? Another week goes by, Lee, right? And I'm saying to myself, hold on, I know how to pray a little bit because, see, I've been faced with two life sentences during trials and tribulations at one time, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't put that in there when I was talking about the bad and busted paper, but I have walked in the valley of shadow of death, ladies and gentlemen. I have been into that place that where Lisa was talking about in verse 1, that where your enemies were around you, man, and you were so deep in the darkness or what avails and cried out to the Lord. I have been there. So I can pray. I know how to pray. I don't say that to be boastful or anything. I'm not an expert or whatever, but I know how to pray. I know when to pray, and I know what time to pray. I can get a prayer through. God ain't speak. Holy Spirit didn't speak. Jesus didn't speak. And then I began to say, hold on, man. I got frustrated a little bit walking through this trial and tribulation, which is an opportunity to increase your faith. See, in that verse that it talks about is increasing your faith. When you're going through some things, are you dependent upon your finances, your education, your parents? Are you dependent upon your looks? Are you dependent upon your money? See, in certain things, even money can't help you. In certain circumstances and situations when you're walking through trials and tribulation, did you know that? If it could, then I think our guy, who's the guy that was over, that created the Apple, what's his name? Steve Jobs had plenty of money. I hate that it happened to him, but when cancer hit his body, his money couldn't save him. His mama couldn't save him. His education couldn't save him. His looks couldn't save him. But we know who could, and I hope that he got his life right with the good Lord Jesus Christ and received salvation or walked in that. But at some times when you're walking through trials and tribulations, man, you just have to have Jesus. So I began to pray, and when God didn't speak, it dawned on me. The light bulb came on all of a sudden, right, in my head saying, it was almost like, if I don't speak, you better not move. The wisdom in that I'm telling you that was in that with me seeking God first and foremost, if God don't speak, I ain't going to move. I don't care how many bright ideas you got. I got assistance. I have a team. I have a board. I have friends. I have accountability people. And all of that is good. But if God don't speak, don't you move. I didn't. And the wisdom in that, the wheels came off this thing what the lady was telling me about. It wasn't even 6 months later. The wheels came off. I had enough wisdom to pray. After I had walked through my trials and tribulation, I had enough wisdom to pray when I was looking at two life sentences and didn't know anything. Wasn't raised up in the church. First time ever going to church was to my uncle's funeral. My second time, that was murdered over in Pardo in front of me at the age of 5. My wife, my auntie was murdered in the same project, so on and so forth. But and I didn't know anything about this thing for us following Christ or whatever else. Man, they preaching a funeral. You know, all I know, and I'm a little young kid at the time, everybody crying. But once I began to fall in love with a man by the name of Jesus Christ from Nazareth and begin to follow the scriptures and begin to follow being led by him and asking the Holy Spirit to lead me, guide me, and busting open the book of Proverbs when it says, lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will direct your steps. Man, that's not a better person to be following, especially when you're looking at wisdom, right? Now, thirdly, in verses, in James chapter 1, verse 9 through 12, James somehow ties riches in this third portion, so on and so forth, in a very unique way, I think. Me personally, I like to call the book of James the New Testament Proverbs, right? Which I've been told over the years, which is the road to maturity. And it's a tough road at times, right? However, it's rewarding as our faith grows in God. You know, God's system and his ways are a whole lot higher than ours, as his thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. And there's things that he can help us with that we don't even know how to help ourselves. His economic or his economy is entirely different than ours. And, you know, in verse 9, it says believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high positions. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. Okay, all right. Now I want to read it from the NLT, if you give me a couple more minutes of your time. It says, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. Now, we're talking about in this, I'm not saying go out, sell everything you have, give it away, and become poor, whatever else. We're talking from a spiritual standpoint, and God begins to show us that with young believers, with those babes in Christ or whatever else, it says that believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away in the same way the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. So there's a blessing when you're walking through the trial. When you're being tempted at time, if you're in communion, if you're in fellowship with God the Father, if you're in fellowship with God the Son, if you're in fellowship with God the Holy Spirit, when trials come up, it began to tell us on this verse that I'm ending on that God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. You know, patience means that, you know, this may go on for quite some time. Is it anything that you've been struggling with that, and, you know, everybody don't have to say, throw your hands up at the same time or say hallelujah, anything like that. But is it anything that you've been struggling with for the last week, for the last 6 months, for the last year, for the last 5 years, for the last 10 years. It can be in your body, it can be in your attitude, it can be in whatever your vice is that you're struggling with. I encourage you to allow God to come in and help you, as it says that God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God promised to those who love him. The ultimate goal, and as we're calling ourselves Christ, followers of Christ, and following Jesus Christ, and on this road of pilgrimage or whatever you want to call it, as we're trying to just follow it after the teachings of Jesus, our ultimate goal is to receive the crown of life. Not that we can keep it, but that we can cast it at his feet, right? The word that I want to hear the most once I'm going on to be with the Lord, and that will be someday, and you will too. Those are things we don't like to face at times or whatever else. But the very last thing I want to hear when I close my eyes on this end of the spectrum and I open them up into eternity is to hear God the Father say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." As you walk through, as we walk through life and as we deal with different things, and, you know, it's some touchy stuff going on. I started off talking about Roe v. Wade. I talked a little bit about the gun laws. I talked about the pandemic. I talked about the mass shootings. And when you know, I had an opportunity to go to Chicago, and I shut up after this, Lee. I had an opportunity to go to Chicago, Southside, Old Block. Now, some of the young kids in here may know what I'm talking about. Little Dirt damn hood. King Von. Now, these guys are millionaires, you know, but they got, you know, one of them got killed, so on and so forth. I'm over in Old Block, right? It's a pastor friend of mine. He's raising funds. He's trying to raise $50 million now. I think he's at like 23 to do this center for kids over there and to get gangs out the streets and give opportunities. And they're doing some really great work. Corey Brooks. And it's called Project Hood. That's the name of it. And when I'm over there in Chicago, he says, "Okay, man, Dirk and Von," and he says, "some more rappers, big time rappers, have come through this church or whatever else in Chicago." And he has this one guy who's given his life unto the Lord and by the name of Twin. So if you Google Twin in Chicago, the Twin Boys or whatever else, you'll begin to see what he used to do. He was locked up in the feds for having mass amount of money and all kind of things. And they had different hoods and projects in Chicago that they were over. But the guy says... Jamie and Sean. So me and Sean C. We went up there together. My pastor over at Athens Church. He said, "Let's ride through Old Block." So okay, we jump up in his car, whatever else. When we pull up in there, the projects actually aren't bigger than Rock Springs. These projects aren't bigger than Rock Springs, but they're one of the dangerous neighborhoods in Chicago. And when we pull up in there, right, we've seen in front of this building, seen about six or eight young kids standing out there, whatever else. They got book bags, you know, they're heavily intoxicated, whatever else. And it's a one way in and one way out. So those are the projects that are dangerous now. Those are neighborhoods that are dangerous because it ain't but one way in and one way out. You got to go back out the way that you came in, whether it's gunfire or fire or whatever's going on, right? And he slows down, he stops, let down the window. They say, "Oh, Pastor Corey, what's up? How's it going, man?" And one of the kids come up to the car. He limping up to the car, right? Looked like he about 15. Sean said about 13. I said, "Well, no more than about 15. He comes up to the car. He says, "Pastor Corey, check this out, man. Need a couple dollars, man. We ain't got nothing at the crib, so on and so forth, this and that. I need a couple dollars." So Pastor Corey said, "What you talking about? Like what?" He was like, $150. Off the rip. Now, they don't ask for $2, $3. You know, I don't know if it's called the cost of living or whatever. He said, $150. Pastor Corey go up in his pocket. He was like, "Here you go, man. That's all I got right now, whatever else. Come see me at the church." He give him like $60 or $70, right? And Twin that's sitting in the back with me and Sean said, "Hey, tell them how many times you've been shot." Think about the age that I told you about this little kid. He said, 15. I said, 15? At one time, I said, hold on, young man, let me pause. At one time, he said, no, two different times. I got shot 10 the first time and 5 the second time. And I said, okay, all right. And he walks off like a 70 or 80-year-old man. He's still healing from him. We pull off, and I began to ask Twin. I said, now, look here. I see the guy who's over these games who's giving his life unto the Lord. Now, I said, I see these young kids, man, that I seen a little buddy of them out there with the book bag, so on and so forth. What's up with that? He said, oh, all them shooters. I said, so all of them strapped, you know, got some pistols, got a stick. That's what they call them in the street or whatever else, right? And he said, no, all of them are killers. It was a dude out there about this tall. And I asked Twin, I said, well, Twin, at what age do a kid in Chicago get their first pistol? And I'm thinking about when I got my first one or whatever else. And he said, look, I can't tell you the age of where a kid get their first pistol in Chicago, Jamie. He said, but in Chicago, they got two or three bodies up under their belt at the age of 13, 14. In case you don't understand what them saying about bodies, they're talking about murders. And I said, what? And, you know, I think Corey's just trying to bring light, hope, and transformation to those kids in that city or whatever else. Some of the same things that you guys are trying to do over in Rock Springs. And in a dark world, man, even though we may be going through trials and tribulations at times, someone else's trials are a little bit worse than yours. We think that we got problems or whatever else. And as you're going through those trials, my hope is that you'll have enough wisdom, or just pause for 1 minute. If you're dealing with someone in a relationship, if it's in tests, if it's with tests that you got coming up at school, allow God to come in to help you. Seek God. Seek Jesus. Seek the Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you. I know about trials, my friend. I know about tribulations. And I know about not having wisdom and how not forgetting to allow, even as a believer during this day and age right now. Now, for life, I told you, for life changing decisions, I'm seeking the Lord. But sometimes, if I be honest with you, I just move without the Lord on some things that are not just important. So I know what that is like. And if you're poor, as we talked about the richest part of this, you know, you may think that you're poor, or you're a new babe in Christ, or you're a new believer in Christ, and you think that you don't know scriptures like Sister Tanya or Brother Billy or whatever else. Guess what? It says God honors those who are poor. Could have said in faith or in spirit or whatever else, more than he honor those who may know 1,000 scriptures. That's not to discredit anyone or whatever else, but it's just the way that God has things set up. So my hope for you guys today is that as you're walking through as trials show up, as different things show up in your life, I pray that you'll take in account James chapter 4 verse 8, when it says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Draw close to God and he'll draw close to you. Allow God to come in. Allow Jesus to come in. And what's the name of the song they were singing? Lisa, you was just busting all the moves. Huh? All I gotta do is follow you. In a nutshell, young people in the room, in a nutshell, those that have been walking with the Lord for years or whatever else, guess what all we gotta do? Hey, somebody, say it again. Follow him. Policies are gonna change. The Supreme Court gonna make decisions. You may have a friend for this season and not a friend for the next season. People will come and go out of your life. But God gives us a promise that he'll never leave us nor forsake us if we follow him. When trials show up, follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, you know, some messages we just don't seem to want to hear at times, or they feel a little bit different. the youth of today say, they hit a little bit different than the mother verses. They hit a little bit different than the other books in the Bible. And when we talk about, when James talked about trials and troubles and tribulations, he told us to welcome that, embrace that as an opportunity to build our faith in you, O Father God. So when we go through these things, let us have enough wisdom to say that, look, we're not alone, that we can allow our Father, our God, to walk with us through these things. Let us count it all joy. Let us count it all joy, O Lord God, because we're in you. Thank you for loving us, even at times when we didn't know how to love ourselves or when we don't know how to love ourselves. Thank you for being patient with us for when we make decisions without you, O Father God. I pray, O Lord Jesus, that everybody in this room, that they heard you, they did not hear me. I pray that every scripture that was read will bring forth a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 fold. I pray more than anything that we'll continue to have a deeper relationship with you. I lift up Lee to you. I lift up Lisa to you. I lift up the praise team to you. And I lift up every member of this church. And if it's someone that hasn't decided to join this church, I lift up them. Continue to protect them. Continue to lead them, guide them, and direct them. In Jesus' name, amen.